Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Todd Clint's SharePoint podcast. You gotta come up with a name for that thing. But until we do, right now, we are live December 5th, 2016. I, of course, am Todd Clint, former male model turned professional podcaster. And to my that side is the guy that I keep around that makes me look better, Shane Young.
Hello, my name is Shane Young, and unlike Todd, I will not lie to you about being a professional model. I was only an amateur model, so I did win Miss America once, but that's a different story.
And the things that he had to do to win that, this is a family show, we can't talk about that.
Hey, we talked about it on Twitter today. I'm good at lobbying, right? I get what I need through the lobbying efforts, so.
Yes, and for those of you that don't follow Shane on Twitter, you show good self-control, but he was talking about how my mom pays him to hang out with me. And how we had to lobby her for that.
I feel like you admitted to it. And then crop circles came into the equation. It got real weird real fast.
Nobody mentioned Children of the Corn. I was kind of disappointed. That's the obvious one, Children of the Corn. So we'll scoot right on this. This wouldn't be possible without Rackspace paying for all this. SharePoint.rackspace.com, rackspace.com/Microsoft. Shane, do your deets.
Good old friends at Bold Zebras, right? They're the ones that love you. They provide my services to all of you for all your fun SharePoint needs, other than hosting, right? Rackspace has got you covered with the hosting stuff. You need the consulting stuff, the training stuff. You just want a friend. I'm here for you.
Just somebody to talk to. And I would like to point out that unlike last week, Shane's pictures and all that are not backwards. Shane went and did everything in his office backwards, had everything reprinted and so that it would show up looking the correct way on the podcast. So a lot of work. He cares.
So I shouldn't blame the producer for flipping the image at all, right?
No. If you want to reach out to Shane or I am at Todd Clint on Twitter, todd.clint@rackspace.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn/Todd Clint, Instagram, all that that fun business there. Shane, tell him how to get hold of you.
Get rid of me? You go to Twitter.
That was Freudian.
Now, last week, right, we talked about my services. I can get Todd deported. I can't get myself deported. But on Twitter, at Shane's Cows, email me through Bold Zebras. My YouTube channel, I'm up to almost 500 subscribers. It's kind of crazy. Hopefully we get to talking to that a little bit later. But the PowerShell content, turns out no one cares about my SharePoint stuff. They want to hear me talk about PowerShell more. So what do you do?
I'm as surprised as anybody.
Must be desperate.
But we'll power on so we can get to that. For production notes, as far as I know, as of today, December 25th, 2016, Common Era, I am all caught up. Every podcast that I've ever done has been produced and out there. A couple of rough ones in there. So 316 was the one before this. It was the first one where we used XSplit. A little bit on that later. Holy cow, was that a train wreck? That was just horrible. And this one hopefully is a little less horrible, and that'll be for you guys to decide. But as far as we know, we're all caught up. I was back a little bit. I found a couple of podcasts from, I think, the 90s in there. I was talking about some current episodes of Friends in one of them, but I think we're all caught up now.
Yeah, I was covering the Seinfelder late last week, right? Same type of deal. Went back to the 90s machine.
Yeah.
So the chat room's already asking, you know, why am I wearing this dorky headset? Well, one is I'm contractually obligated to look dumber than Todd, and it really takes me digging. And so I'm trying to see if the headset can get me there. But the other problem I'm having is my beloved Yeti, who I love so much, him and Skype no longer get along. I don't know if my Yeti works with all my other systems. Everything works fine except for Skype. So until I solve that problem, you are going to be stuck with me in the headset.
Yeah, and that's a funny thing. So Shane, I've got the Black Yeti now, and I panned down, but then I would never get the thing right again. Shane got one a while back. I had a Yeti Pro, and it was kind of a pain. And so Shane got this Black Yeti, which I can't remember what it's called. It was working better, so I got one. And then he started complaining about how it didn't work with Skype. I plugged mine in, tried it with Skype. It didn't work the first time. Skype yelled at me. I killed Skype, opened it back up, and mine's been fine ever since. That was like 2 weeks ago, and Shane has still gotten his to work.
Yeah, so it's Yeti Blackout Edition, but I have probably spent almost 6 hours troubleshooting this. I have uninstalled all my drivers, all my USB hubs. I uninstalled Skype and Skype Preview. I even went as far today was I downloaded the Windows USB Software Developer Kit and was using internal utilities for that to go in and like I removed some cool stuff. I mean, you know, I'm surprised my system hasn't blue screened yet, but I was in there like at this level that I didn't belong. I still couldn't fix it. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I will tell you, when Shane was whining about this on IM earlier, I went out to Bing and did like, you know, Skype, Yeti Black, whatever. And tried, because I assumed like the first hit would be the exact fix to his problem. What it was really was a forum post that he had posted whining. So I was trying to find the solution to his whining and got a link to more of his whining. I'm like, I'm out. I can't take any more of this. He's on his own.
Those were the best days, right? I remember when those early days of SharePoint troubleshooting, right? And I type in this big, long, complicated error message, and the first post back, or the first response back would be a newsgroup posting that I had done 6 months prior. And I'm like, A, that's kind of cool. And B, I'm really stupid because I don't remember that very this error. So
that's one of the reasons I started blogging, was to have all that stuff someplace easy where I could find it. So we're getting there. So Jack, you mentioned that you don't have the Yetis. So I'm using my Yeti. There's some confusion on my part as to which audio input I'm using. I think it's the Yeti. I think it's the Yeti through Skype. I'm not entirely sure. I think I've got the video stuff down pretty well here in XSplit, so I can have different scenes. This is everybody's favorite scene, which is scene one, which is just me. Sadly, Shane's audio still comes through. And then I've got this scene, which is the scene that I threaten people with if they're misbehaving in the chat room. This is just Shane. And then the video on scene three is both of us. The video stuff I think I've got down. The audio stuff I'm kind of struggling with. I know how I can add my audio. I can add my Yeti. But how to add Shane's audio without getting reverb and all that has been fighting us a little bit. So fighting with the audio a little bit before the show, but apparently don't have it all figured out. But XSplit's coming up, and I'm hoping by next week to have like a scene that has the lower thirds and that kind of stuff, and put the stinger at the beginning and some of those kind of things.
Mark in the chat room just posted a link to a Yeti driver issue fix. I want to click on it, but I'm assuming I'm being Rickrolled and, you know, something bad will happen. So not touching it.
So you're not being Rickrolled, but LMGTFY is let me Google that for you. And so it's just a Google search for, yes.
I knew shenanigans were happening.
Yes. Yes. Mark is relevant for that. Jack is asking if I bought the XSplit $200 deal. Sadly, no. That was the day that we looked at it, but we didn't know if it would work. And so I'll get to pay the full price for XSplit if I go that route. Right now, I think I'm doing the monthly thing, something like that, just to try it out to make sure it works.
One of these days, we need to find an actual show sponsor, right? Someone who, you know, spends $5 an episode so that we can actually have a budget to buy some of this stuff we need.
I'm all for it. If anybody wants to be a sponsor, hit me up at Todd Clint. Probably shouldn't email my Rackspace email address with that particular thing. But
well, if you can't cash the checks, I can cash the checks.
There we go. Yeah, send the checks to Shane. We're getting it. So this is something Shane and I have had big ideas about this podcast for years, and this particular thing is one of them. Getting the split screen stuff and being able to do some of these things. Finally, one of us has a machine that can do it. The software's out there. We've been able to figure it out. And it's all been good.
It is crazy, you know. Now we just need to find a new name other than the Todd Clint Netcast, and you know, get a stinger that doesn't have a mullet and an 80s haircut, and we'll be all set.
Yeah, and a picture of me from like 10 years ago.
Well, it's interesting though, right? Because you're back to that size, right? There was a period where you weren't that size, and now you're back to that size. So I mean, I guess that's kind of at least accurate.
I was twice the man that I am now.
Looking good. All right, let's talk about something interesting.
All right, so we got a couple of things. One of the things I want to do is I want to give a shout out to Bart. Bart D from Belgium. I wanted to give a shout out to him. He's been emailing me back and forth. Not only is he a longtime podcast sufferer, but he emailed me about getting the podcast out on, I think, Google Play and Windows Phone and a couple of places, which brings up my inadequacy as a podcaster about getting this on all the different platforms. So number one, I wanted to give Bart a shout out about that. And let's make Bart our first official podcast listener of the day. I think he has earned that. But that's something, is we're, you know, getting new software and all that. We're going to have to make sure we get out on all the major platforms. So, you know, Windows, I couldn't even say it. Google Play, Stitcher, all those places.
Do I get a vote on this podcast for the day? I mean, Bart sounds like a nice guy and all, but I mean, I don't support him winning it as the very first one. So
well, who do you think should be the first one?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not ready to commit to this, but I just I don't like you just springing this on me in the middle of the show that you've given Bart such a major award.
As long as my name is still the one in the title, I get to pick who the podcast listener of the day is. You want to pick the podcast listener of the day, start your own podcast.
Bart, I mean, I love you, dude, but this is not going to work. Where's the executive producer? Right?
Yeah, we need a tiebreaker. Oh, that's funny. So, and I'm talking to some folks in Belgium about maybe going over there next year. So maybe I'll let Bart buy me a lunch, and then he can be the first second time winner of podcast listener of the day.
This man crush is getting deep. It's hurting me.
I wouldn't call it a crush. I mean, I like him a little more than average, but I wouldn't call it a full out crush. Oh, did you mean the other way? Confused.
Yeah, talk about Azure AD. What is this Azure AD stuff you have in the
notes? Well, and I wanted to talk about another thing that I kind of skipped around the notes there. Shane, in one of his videos on YouTube, somebody asked about patching AppFabric, which is the distributed cache system in SharePoint 2013 and 2016. He pinged me and I went in and I'm like, yeah, we are officially okay to patch that now manually because it's a separate thing. In 2013 and 2016, it's not included in the SharePoint patches. When SharePoint 2013 first came out, we were not allowed to patch that, and they've since changed that. So I put this whole reply to the person in Shane's thread telling them, hey, go to my patches page, todd.clint.com/sp2013patches. I've got all the patches listed in there. You can grab it from there. And then I posted it, and then I went to the page, and I didn't have all the patches there. It turns out it was something I had meant to do like 3 years ago and never actually did. So last week I did it. So all the AppFabric patches are on there. So now we've got your SharePoint patches, your Office Web App patches, distributed cache patches, AppFabric, all of that's in there.
So many patches. And speaking of that, I bet we get more tomorrow. So yay, patches.
It is. Tomorrow's the first Tuesday of the month. You're thinking of the second Tuesday of the month.
See, this whole Thanksgiving coming early is just messed everything up.
It's those Kentucky schools again, I tell you.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think that's what it is. I think so. Anyway, so let's talk about Azure. So big news, and I missed this. This has been kind of crazy. But on November 18th, there was an update to Azure AD Connect. Those of you that aren't enjoying Azure AD Connect yet, it is a piece of software. You run it on-prem, and it syncs your Windows Active Directory accounts up to Azure Active Directory, which is what Office 365 uses in the background. So you can keep your users, your usernames and passwords and all this stuff in sync. Great stuff. Shane and I have been saying for like 5 years now that identity is kind of the next frontier for SharePoint administrators, knowing how to sync these things, understanding Azure AD and all that. So new version on November 18th, it is 1.1.343.0.bang.click.hieroglyph, two hieroglyphs in the notes. So I bring that up not because just we're trying to find stuff to talk about, but it adds a couple of important things. It adds support for Windows Server 2016, which RTM'd here not too long ago. So now you can run that supported on that. If you have a large enough environment, you may need to keep your databases in full SQL as opposed to the mini SQL that installs. This patch adds support for SQL 2016. And it also adds the ability to manage ADFS 2016 within Azure AD Connect. So this is something that I don't remember a year and a half ago when they were redoing Azure AD Connect. That was something that was in one of the betas. So the ability to run the install and then have that configure ADFS, and that got pulled out before everything went RTM. I think this is the same bit now. I haven't had a chance to try this new version yet, but I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, right? The AD stuff, there's just more proof. They're investing lots of money into it. And it's not even the future. It's the current state of affairs. And I'm still really interested, right? Because I think at some point, I don't know when, we're going to see this mass reboot of everyone's AD. Because we've talked about it before, but, you know, everyone's been running the same Active Directory since 2000, 2003. And think about your SharePoint farm. How many times have you rebuilt that since 2003? And to think that most people are just kind of iterated AD, at some point, we're going to have to be like, AD stops here, and we're going to go rebuild it all out in Azure AD, hopefully, and kind of start fresh. And so, I don't know. I'm still waiting on that day to show up.
Yeah, and I think that there have been a couple of things. I agree with you completely. And I think there have been a couple of things that Microsoft needed to do to make that happen that have happened. The first was last year when Windows 10 came out, the ability for it to join Azure AD domains. And then now Windows Server 2016 is out, and it can join Azure AD domains. I assume it can. I think it can. And I think those are two big things that we're keeping that. So I'm with you. That's going to happen eventually.
Yeah. Well, I also wonder, you know, I haven't been keeping up, I admit, but the Active Directory Domain Services as a Service stuff, right? That went into public preview about 2 months ago. So that should be getting pretty close to actually going live if it hasn't already. And I think that's even cooler, right? Because then now instead of building domain controllers in Azure or using Azure AD, you can just say, hey, here's this magical service that pretends to be a domain controller for me, making it once again just a lot easier to go.
Yeah, and I just want the record to show that I muted my mic and then successfully unmuted it without screwing up even once.
I didn't even hear the click. I mean, you must be, you're probably using the wrong mic, though. They probably heard you banging on stuff and all probably that stuff. So. But the experience for me was velvety, so appreciated.
But before this podcast, when Shane and I got all the videos straightened out, we were talking about how we should just retire after this one because this one has been perfect. And my professional muting and unmuting is just another testament to that.
Yeah,
I know if I just forgot to shut the auto, or remember to shut the autofocus off. But anyway, if you're using Azure AD Connect, chances are when you installed it, you told it to update itself automatically, so you may already be enjoying 343. If not, you could always go out to aka.ms/AADConnect. That will always take you to the latest version of Azure AD Connect. So good stuff out there. If you haven't played with it already, spin up a VM, grab yourself a demo Office 365 tenant. They are free, and practice doing this because you're going to need to do it eventually.
Don't you have to be a partner to get the demo, the free demo tenants?
So you can, that's the, I forget what the Microsoft Office demos, that MOD stuff, but you can go to Office 365 and you can just get a trial and it will do everything. If you do a trial or if you do the MOD stuff, make sure you remove your internet domain from that tenant before it expires. One of the two of us in this podcast did not do that. It has caused him a bunch of grief. I've got a blog post that I'm almost done with that will talk about that process and how I fixed it. But yes, that it's easier to just remember to take it out.
Side note, am I pointing at you in this? Or are you, which way are you?
Yes, I am that way and you are that way.
Okay, I'll have to remember that. So I want to be like that bozo. You're right there. All right,
exactly.
Thank you.
As opposed to the other bozo that's over there.
Bozo.
So Microsoft has given us a new version of Azure AD Connect. What else have they given us?
Oh, they've also updated the Azure PowerShell, right? Version 2.0 is now GA. Of course, with 2.0, they've decided to kind of untangle some of the things we could do with 1.0. But, you know, it's part of the growing process. It's the joys of what I still kind of think of as permanent beta. I try not to say it too much anymore, but the joys of online is it's always in a state of change.
Yeah, and this one, like I saw that, I'm like, yes, this is sweet. And then I started reading it, and it has two really big holes. Number one, the Azure AD PowerShell 2.0 does not have everything that the old Azure AD, the MSOL thing had. So you have to have them both. And it doesn't have all the things that it had in the beta. So I'm like, who? It's that whole line. Who is this supposed to, satisfy? So they've said in the blog post, they own up to all that and they admit that they're working on it and they're going to iterate it. But yeah, this does definitely feel like a beta that has been called the GA.
Well, the good news is, right, you don't have to install it. As long as you don't go and update your commandlets, you'll still just have the 1.0. So probably just stick tight, right, until they get that set up.
Yeah, or if you do install it, obviously all three can coexist together. There's a way to do it. So just be very aware that this is not as smooth as you may expect it and hope it to be. It's very out of it. So you put another note, and this was the next note you put in there, something that I also saw last week. Or did I put that in there, or did you put that in there?
This guy.
Because I had it also, but go ahead and tell the folks about that. And I'm going to put it on a scene that's just you to show my fine podcasting skills.
Oh, hi. So one of the interesting things we saw on Twitter, I don't even remember who tweeted it, because it was just kind of like this random, they just kind of put it out there random like it wasn't a big deal. And for Todd and I, it was like monumental. But it turns out that if you go to the app data folder and then Microsoft/Windows/PowerShell/PS/readline/console/host_history.txt, every single commandlet you've ever ran on that machine is right there. Blew my mind. I'm like, no, somebody's screwing with me. This isn't right. So it took me 5 minutes to figure out how to get into the app data folder, right? You got to do the whole percent app data percent. Got in there, and sure enough, everything I'd ever ran. It's not like start transcript, though, where you get all the results and all the things that had happened. It was just commandlet, really poorly written commandlets. But I thought that was just really an excellent thing to be able to go and find. I wish we'd had that about 7 years ago.
Yeah. And I got it. So then, I can tell this wasn't the note that I put because I had a different link to it because I used the $env thing to get there in PowerShell. But yeah, it's everything. And what I don't know about this, I haven't researched it much, is I don't know if this is new with PowerShell 4 or 5. I think that it is. I think I remember in older versions of PowerShell, there not being something and seeing in one of the betas that, hey, that's going to come with new versions of PowerShell. And I think that there's a way that you can use like a GPO or something to turn that on and shut that off. But number one, yes, it's great because I know you and I both lost hours and hours of productivity by forgetting to turn on the transcript, figuring something out, and then forgot how we did it. The other thing I would warn you about, though, and I've not looked at this, is if you've typed any passwords in PowerShell, which is kind of a no-no, they might be in there. So go find that file and, you know, open it up in something. I like Notepad++. Do a Control F and see if any of your passwords show up in there.
Yeah, I definitely know a lot of my early scripts, I was bad about that, right? I'd just be like $password = pass that word one, right? Just right there.
Boom. Force as secure as force. No, I really mean it. Damn it, put this. Oh, yeah. PowerShell fights you the whole way on that.
Oh, yeah. PowerShell begs you not to do it, but I'm like, boom, what's happening? You know, and there's some of that stuff. So I've been using the Git credential lately to pull the password, right? So just prompting. But I've seen the other stuff where I guess you can go and add your password credentials into the Windows password store and then kind of, I haven't messed with that at all yet. Have you had the done?
Yes. So there's a few things. So the password vault is new with Windows 8 or 8.1 or something like that. So I got a blog post on how to save them to the file system. Jeff Jones has a blog post on how to save them to the registry. There's the password vault. Yeah, there's a bunch of places to do it. You gotta get them in there somehow so they end up, like if you do the get credential, you can do it without showing up in the transcript. But yeah, that's the way to do it these days. There's no good reason to put them in plain text. It's just kind of lazy.
There's a lot of what I do with my PowerShell that's kind of lazy. So.
And yet you get views on it. How does that work?
Well, yeah, because when I do the video, I do it the right way. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. All right, so you got something else in there, PowerShelly.
So just in case if you are big into PowerShell, not that this will be published in time, so only the people in the chat room will probably know. But on December 8th, 2016, they're going to have their first ever PowerShell community core call. So if you ever wanted to jump on there and talk to the guys who are responsible for building and iterating PowerShell inside of Microsoft, whether it's about bugs or feature requests or just to tell them that they're the greatest guys on the planet, they're going to have their first call for that. I think we've got the link to it here. You can jump in and, via Skype and participate with them and probably be a really educational call. It'll probably be, you know, you get to see all the dynamics. You get to see some really smart people ask smart questions. You get to see some people who think they're really smart ask some really dumb questions. It'll be a good time. Get some popcorn and take advantage of that call.
Yeah, you and I have seen this a couple of times in person where, you know, like, there was a time with an MVP summit with Bill Gates. It was taking questions from the audience. And there are some people who just could not resist the opportunity to talk to Bill Gates, but yet were completely incapable of coming up with an intelligent, coherent question to ask him. And so just get up and embarrass themselves. That one, Ballmer, once I can recall a couple of questions there.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. And they would ask the questions like, you know, why do you think all that money you're donating to schools is helping children? Clearly, my kids are stupider, so your money is a waste, right? I mean, they would ask those type of questions. You're like, wow. So Bill would just be like, here's all the stats. Boom. And they would just be like, yeah, they got hit by a truck.
Yeah, my favorite one of that was, this was many, many years ago. And again, things from the audience. And so somebody came up, and this was when the whole one PC per child or one laptop per child thing was coming out. And so somebody gets up there, and Bill Gates is up there. And man, is Bill Gates just, I mean, he's just a great public speaker. And that goes without saying, but that man is fast and quick on his feet. I was amazed. But somebody comes up, and they're like, hey, you know, you're a terrible person. Everybody's doing this one laptop per child. Why won't you give them Windows licenses for that? Why is it running on Linux? And his response, I thought, was awesome. He's like, The Gates Foundation is giving bazillions of dollars every year to the poor nations of Africa. We're worried about things like water and sanitation. We really think those are tougher problems to tackle before we start worrying about what operating system their laptops run. Wow.
Yeah, I'm busy solving malaria, not whether or not control alt delete works for these people.
Like, yeah, you just gotta be careful. Careful.
Didn't slow the guy down though, right? He just powered on. But.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Last thing on the PowerShell stuff. So the other thing, I threw it out on Twitter today, and I think it'd just be interesting if any of you have feedback. But one of the things I've realized recently is there's more people in the world who have not learned PowerShell that need to learn PowerShell than there are that people have embraced it. And so what I'm trying to figure out, is I'm trying to create a class, right? Let's be honest. I'm trying to create a class, but I want to make a class that makes it easier for them to learn. And I know what content they need to learn, but I'm trying to figure out, if you haven't learned PowerShell to this point, is it just you haven't had the time, you don't think it's applicable to you, you just can't find the right tools or the right the right way to learn it? I'm trying to figure out, why are people still not learning PowerShell? And so if you have any of that feedback, if you're that person who's like, PowerShell, meh, I'd love to hear from you on Twitter or on email or Slack or, Carrier Pigeon, because apparently you like doing things the old way. But love to hear what you got to say there.
Yeah, and I'm...
You didn't get to mute right. They can probably hear you because you're using the wrong mic. I can't hear you.
Shut up. You and I have been saying for 6 years now that you got to learn PowerShell. And I can't believe that in 2016, that we're still having to bang that drum. But yeah, you got to do it.
I put out that beginning, intro to PowerShell where I teach git command, git help, that type of stuff. And it has got thousands of views in just a very short amount of time. And it's outgrowing everything. It gets more channels than the rest of my SharePoint content combined. So I don't know.
Yep. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. You had at least, so I've got a couple of things we can talk about those next week, but you had at least one fun topic that you want to talk about. Pick one of the fun ones down there. Let's go on that one.
All right, we're going with 16?
Let's do it.
All right. So Amazon today, they announced the opening of, I don't know if they announced it, but it was the reporter finally wrote an article on, how about that, on Amazon Go. And so Amazon Go is a grocery store in Seattle where you don't need a cashier. You don't need anything other than a smartphone, right? You need a smartphone. You open up the app. You it gives you a QR code. You show it to the door. The door opens when you show it the code. And you go in and you shop. And by shopping, it means just put stuff in your buggy or in your bags. And then you just leave. And they're going to use, I assume if it's RFID or something of that nature, but they're just going to figure out what you've taken and charge you for it. No cashiers, no... help desk people, no baggers, just you in the grocery store. I don't know. Thoughts?
I love it. So I am one of those people, I don't get too wrapped up about technology progressing. So the obvious backlash to this is, well, we're putting cashiers out of work and all. Blah, blah. Yes, absolutely. That's happening. But that has happened innumerable times in the advancement of the world and will continue to happen. Nobody knows a blacksmith anymore. Nobody knows how to shoe a horse. These are all things that, when the automobiles came, this is just the way that it works. And in the long run, this kind of stuff is going to be good for society. Obviously, in the short term, it's bad for the people who have those jobs. But the thing is, those jobs will never go away. So while we don't know any blacksmiths, there are still blacksmiths out there, and we're all buying eBooks. There are still books out there. So there will continue to be some niche for this, and it won't completely go away for people who want to use it. I don't have it in the notes, and I'll try to put it when we do the notes for the show. I recently listened to a podcast. It was either a Freakonomics or a Planet Money podcast on the guy that invented the automatic cash register, the self-checkout thing like we've seen at Walmart. And all the technical and then just social things that he had to overcome to make this work. And there's just a lot of things I hadn't thought about on both sides. And then they get into the economics of it as to, those kind of things. But I think it's a good thing. I think the more of that automation, the better.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because there's two different angles we can attack this. And so since you kind of started with the cashiers, maybe we should talk about that first. And, while this isn't directly a response to the $15 an hour minimum wage, it kind of is, you know. So another article that we've got here is the Forbes article is talking about McDonald's has announced that they're doing the cashless kiosk, you know, in their stores across the nation. They're starting to roll those out everywhere they can. And it's that same deal, right? The unions and the people push for, you know, you got to have the $15 an hour to, you know, flip fries at McDonald's and things like that. And so they people warned them and they just choose not to, you know, embrace it, that they were pushing themselves out of jobs. And
I don't think those two are related. I don't think the automation of any menial, and I don't mean menial in a condescending way. I don't think any kind of automation is ever done for the reason for like the minimum wage thing. I think those two things were both happening independent of each other. They happened to coincide coincidentally. I've seen, so remember back in the old days when one of the Delta hubs was in Memphis. There used to be a fast food place, and they've had those things, the automatic things in there for many years, because that thing closed 5 years ago, probably. Those things have always been there. So I think regardless of any movement to increase minimum wage, this automation would have happened. It just makes sense, and it brings prices down for everybody. It brings consistency for customers. It was going to happen regardless of the $15 an hour thing.
Yeah, I mean, it may be so. I don't know. I feel like it stepped on the accelerator for them, though. I think it really pushed them. And, you know, and then there's also, I think you're going to say, well, the problem, it's only a big deal with like McDonald's who can afford to invest in that. But I think back to what you said, it's going to push prices and margins down, or it's going to push prices down, right? Because margins can get better with the lower cost of the machines. But I think the little guys who can't afford to invest in these, it's going to make it harder for them, right? Because now instead of a Big Mac being $4.99, now it's $2.99. I'm making up stuff here, but it's going to make it harder for the little guys to compete. And so I think you're going to see more of the smaller shops get pushed out as the bigger shops have these technology advantages and once they get them paid for here in a few years. So
that could be. The other thing that I don't know is I don't know what part of the price of a Big Mac is labor. So I don't know. I mean, there's a certain amount of overhead. There's property taxes and rent and utilities and taxes. And then the cost of goods. How much does the burger cost, the bun cost, the secret sauce, all that? What part of that $2.99 or whatever you pay for a Big Mac is labor? And if we cut that cost in half, but the cost per burger is 50 cents, I mean, it's just not that big a deal. So it's not going to sway one way or the other. But your overall point stands that as technology advances, the people who can't keep up with it have to find some other differentiator, or they're going to get left in the dust.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I've been fighting with people for the last year, right, is that everyone needs to accept that they're in the technology business. No matter what you do, what it is, you're a technology company at this point in time and not a blacksmith or something like that. Because the guy who comes into the blacksmith world, I went 3 weeks ago and talked to a bunch of high school students trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives, right? And I said, hey, I want to be an optometrist. I was like, you're a technology company as an optometrist. And they're like, no, you know, I just go and look at eyes and stuff. I'm like, that's what it is today. It's like, but if you come into that with a fresh set of eyes and say, how do I innovate? How do I go in and think of myself as a technology company who happens to help people with their eyes? You're going to be the one that has the advantage and the leverage going forward. You're the one that can disrupt the business model, because the whole innovator's dilemma, right? The big existing companies, they never can innovate hard enough. So I was challenging those high school students to kind of put that lens in as they went and explored their careers.
It's interesting because I think of it, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but I think of that as more an opportunity. Well, I might be thinking of something different. But I think of it as an opportunity that these businesses have to lean on technology, but maybe not for themselves, because technology has gotten big enough that they can't do it for themselves. So I'm thinking like websites and self-checkout stuff and all that. But you're talking about automating the actual industry itself, and you might be right.
Just looking at it as a whole, right? The whole, one of the best quotes I ever heard is Progressive. When they came on the scene, someone said, you know, what type of company are you, right? And everyone said, oh, they're an insurance company. And Progressive would answer with, we're a technology company who happens to sell insurance. And I think that's the type of mindset. Because if you think about it, right, Progressive showed up, I don't know, 20 years ago. And when they did, you know, they kind of did things completely different, which was really weird and bizarre. But now it's become this whole ability to buy insurance online, the whole healthcare.gov, right, in some way owns itself to the fact that Progressive came in and made it acceptable to look at insurance through a website. And if you think about it, State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, the incumbents 25 years ago, they were never going to do that. They were never going to say, how do we remove the agent from the process? How do we make this self-service environment? Because that's what not what they were incented on. They were a bunch of agents who made lots of money and got to take lots of fancy trips to Hawaii and places like that from selling insurance. So they were never going to create that. They were never going to embrace the technology until someone came in off the street and said, huh, let's take this website thing I know how to do and use it to sell insurance.
Yeah, but I think Progressive saying we're not an insurance company, we're technology, that's a platitude. They're an insurance company. They heavily leverage technology, but they're an insurance company. But you're right, it is a good mentality. Think of a way to disrupt. Disruption has become one of my most favoritist words, and I know it's overused, as bad as cloud and all that. But I do like this idea of walking into any situation, an insurer or whatever, and saying, I do not accept this norm as the best way to do this. How can I change this? I like that mentality. And this Amazon Go, Amazon from the beginning has been that way. I talked years ago about reading a book about Jeff Bezos that talked about how he had this huge plan. Like, he didn't want to be a bookstore. He wanted to be the thing that they are now, but books were the easiest way for him to get started. He didn't want to be a bookstore. That wasn't his plan. But it was just, you know, he had this plan, and that was the smallest step to get the infrastructure in place and all that. And fascinating stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you're absolutely right, right? It is. It's a mentality thing. It's not an actuality, right? Because everyone agrees Progressive is an insurance company. But having that mindset, putting in the hat every morning that says we're a technology company, I think really just helps drive it. Because just like you, right, the worst words I can ever hear in the course of a day is, well, that's the way we've always done it.
Hate that.
I just want to throw myself off a bridge or the person who said it, whichever way.
You want to throw yourself up the person who said it? That makes no sense. And sometimes that is the right way to do things. I mean, sometimes people do things for a reason, and I completely acknowledge that. But what I don't like is the complete reluctance to ever evaluate that and say, okay, we've been doing it this way. Is it still the best way to do it? It might be, but it might not be. There may be a way to agree on it.
Yeah. And did you read Innovator's Dilemma?
I don't remember if I did or not.
When
did you read it? When would have you recommended it to me?
It was probably within the last few years. So back when we had that spat where we were recommending books pretty back and forth, it was one of the ones I read at the end of that. So maybe that's how you didn't.
I'm still reading books all the time.
I stopped reading. I've got a game on my. I got a phone now that can have games. See, the iPhone has ruined me because it can now do, you know, have the Star Wars game that I play every day of my life. It's very sad.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, we've gone over a little bit. You've got some Applebee's that you need to punish. Mm. So we got some great things to talk about next week, though. That's all been good. On to the shameless self-promotion bit. The first thing I forgot to mention last week, and so I'll mention it this week and I'll put it in the notes for next week, is my birthday's coming up. We're like a month and a half out. I'm going to be celebrating my birthday January 21st. Plenty of shopping days left to do that. But the thing that I want you all to do, instead of buying me a gift, Lord knows I deserve it, but I would prefer that you go out to, and I don't have the URL on here, doggone it, pointgowan.com/TK charity. It's the thing that we do every year, where instead of buying me fancy, luxurious gifts that I deserve, you go out and give some money to a charity of your choice. Local charity, I don't care. Not a charity that I pick, a charity that you pick. And give them some money. Then you tell Lori Gowan about it. And we try to see how much money all of you podcast hooligans can raise before my birthday. And then depending on the year, and depending on how good Santa's been to me, and, you know, I get my Christmas bonus Chevy Chase style, I match it. Last year I matched it. You guys raised $3,600 or something like that. So over the course of this, we've been doing it for the length of the podcast, have raised well over $10,000 for charities and would like to keep that going. So pointgowan.com/TK charity. Lori will reach out to you and tell you what to do. Again, I don't care what charity you give to. It's not me trying to give you, you know, Todd Clint's benevolent fund or anything like that. Whatever's valuable for you. And we will do that. So that will be, that's the first one. I think you've got something to promote as well.
I was just excited to say that I got my first article for Petrie.com written. It's sitting in the queue. I'm waiting on Megan to look at it and say, man, it is trash, before she hits publish. But yeah, so I was kind of excited to get that out there. And then I also want to do the reminder, right? If you've got any feedback on why you haven't embraced PowerShell, send it over. Love to hear what I can do to make you want to embrace PowerShell.
Yep, and starting to look now for conferences for 2017. So hopefully in the next few weeks we'll have some of that to talk about. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for sticking in. Chat room, we're going to stick around for a while. Again, you can hit me up at Todd Clint on Twitter. You can talk to that joker at Bold Zebras. At Shane's Cows. Do you have a Bold Zebra Twitter account?
Of course. And a Facebook page and a LinkedIn page. But at Shane's Cows is always the best way to find me.
All right. So hopefully we'll get this thing done pretty quickly. And then we'll see you in a week. Bye, everybody. Peace.